Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We're keeping an eye out. It's Carnahan Watch 2021. I have not seen anything yet, any kind of new on this. But like I said, it could be kind of happening at any point here. We'll keep an eye on that. 952-946-6205. Got Aaron here. Chief Strategy Officer Aaron Clems is joining us. Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. They've been fighting against the Polymet mine, and they should be, for goodness sakes. Aaron, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today, my friend.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for coming back. My God, how many years has it been, dude?
It has been a while. I do miss the AM950 studio.
Well, you're more than welcome to come back anytime, for sure. We just had the Native Roots Radio guys that are on after me. We're just up at the Line 3 concert yesterday. We've seen the disastrous decision here. They're digging the Line 3 line. They're not pumping oil through it, but they've already leaked like crazy all over it. They've made a major environmental damage. They haven't even come close to their hiring numbers that they promised, and a lot of those have been undercut, and a lot of the people they're bringing in are, you know, causing crimes in Bemidji and areas like this. It is a disaster. We already know as well the Polymet mine, the type of mining they've been out there, it's never been done environmentally safe. So to even dance this dance is dangerous. You guys over there at the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy have been out there fighting this from the get-go. Let's talk a little bit. How has the fight been going against Polymet? We know that a lot of the permits got yanked.
Yeah, no, all four of the major permits for the Polymet mine proposal that they would need to operate. So this is the permit to mine, their water pollution permit, their air pollution permit, and their wetlands destruction permit are all either reversed, remanded back to the agencies, or suspended. And so that's really good news in that all of these permits, which were hastily issued just before the 2018 election, have been reviewed by the courts and in almost every case found wanting and sent back to the agency. This is both a good thing in the sense that it stopped this destructive proposal, but it's also a really sobering moment, I think, for us to think about what our agencies and our regulators are doing. The fact that every major permit that they've looked at in the courts has been sent back should tell us a lot about the quality of that work and the fact that these permits don't meet the law and they don't protect Minnesota. And so we're at a critical moment, really, where for the first time, Governor Walz has the ball back in his court. All of these permits were issued in the previous administration under Governor Dayton. And so right now, it's up to Governor Walz to decide how he's going to move forward. And so we're really trying to push him to make better decisions about how to protect the water downstream.
The permits were always, I mean, and you talk about when they pushed all those through in 2018, that was something that was common. They were trying to get those through before the Democrats took charge because they wanted to push this not just here, but in Alaska and other places as well. With the faults here, remind everyone out there on these permits, what were the faults that the courts found that said, no, these aren't going to fly?
Sure. So the permit to mine, which is the main permit for Minnesota mining operations, was reversed by the Minnesota Supreme Court. Because it was a forever permit with no end to it. And the law says you have to have a term. You have to have an end point. Under Minnesota law, that end point is when the mine has been reclaimed and land that was once a mine can be returned to use in some other fashion. There is no end point for this Polymet mine or other sulfide mines like it, like the Twin Metals mine, coming back into the public use. And the reason why is because it creates water pollution that lasts for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes,
it right. Does. So the Supreme Court struck it down because they said, "Look, you can't have a permit that has it is not a forever permit for pollution. You have to have an endpoint," and they have yet to prove when that would actually happen.
Go ahead, please continue.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. And then the other part of this too is they had this very experimental scheme that was supposedly going to prevent water pollution and come to function. And there was literally zero pieces of evidence in the record showing that it would work. It was made up. And when the court asked them in open court where the evidence was, they're like, "Yeah, we'll look around and we'll see if we can find some more for you." That's just unacceptable. I mean, we issued permits on the basis of assertions and no evidence. So that permit's now back at the Department of Natural Resources, and they have to decide what to do about it. And they have yet to make a decision. It's been back there for several months.
Much like the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency was defending Line 3 mysteriously, the DNR, I mean, it is a little bit surprising. The DNR, an organization that is there to protect natural resources for the state of Minnesota, they seem to be standing by these permits, though, still, as the courts have rejected them, right?
Yeah, they have. And, I mean, I think the problem for the DNR, fundamentally, is that they have conflicting parts of their mission. On the one hand, they're supposed to protect Minnesotans from natural resource damage, to protect our natural resources, our water, our air, and our land. But they're also responsible for promoting mineral development according to Minnesota law. And so they end up caught between these two aspects of their mission quite frequently. And it creates bad outcomes for people. We shouldn't have an agency that's supposed to protect our land and water also having an eye on developing a particular industry in Minnesota. Also, the other problem with the DNR has been not so much that the agency itself, but the legal advice they've gotten. I mean, Minnesotans expected our attorney general, in this case, Keith Ellison, would be the person defending Minnesotans in court to uphold the law and also make sure that our agencies are doing their job. In this case, instead of having our attorney general support the legal parts of these cases, when we go to court, we're coming up against attorneys that are hired from the industry, and Minnesota taxpayers are paying for that. So far, almost $10 million has been paid to out-of-state mining industry law firms to uphold these permits. And they're getting bad legal advice, and they're losing in court because of it.
So just remind everyone of this, because these are little nuggets that we don't hear about too much in the mainstream news. State taxpayers are on the line here for $10 million for corporate lawyers for PolyMet because apparently Keith Ellison's office is not, you know, his job would be to defend this, in which he can turn down that right to do so. But the taxpayers on the line for these law firms?
Well, to be clear, the decision to have the attorney general step aside and to look for a private law firm to do these cases was done under Lori Swanson, the previous attorney general. So this is not Keith Ellison's decision, but it has affected the fact that his attorney general's office has not been involved in these cases. But the answer is yes. $10 million so far has been appropriated by the legislature. It's gone to Holland and Hart, which is the firm that represents the agencies in court. They're a Denver-based law firm that primarily works for the mining industry. If you look at their website, go look it up. Google Holland and Hart and see who their clients are and how they talk about the mining industry. That's who they're working for, not for Minnesotans. And that's one of the things that gives us so much concern about this, is it feels like we continue to like run down this blind alley. Rather than looking up and seeing the fact that this proposal, this sulfide mine proposal, is a failure, and it's time for us to change course.
Could just one clarification, could Keith Ellison's office take that power back and can take control of this lawsuit? Or is that something that, because Swanson handed that over, that can't come back?
It's a little unclear about this. I think ultimately the agencies get to decide how they want to be represented. Right. So if the attorney general represents, you know, whether it's the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Commerce, or any other agency in court, his client is the agency. In this case, I believe the genesis of this was the Department of Natural Resources approached the attorney general and said they would like to have outside representation. I'm not sure about how durable that is. So I think that it's possible that at some point in the future that could change. But I think that decision was made sometime back in 2015. And has remained in place since then.
The Chief Strategy Officer of the MCEA is joining us. Aaron Clem's joining us, talking about PolyMet. I love the story you guys posted on your Twitter feed yesterday. And it's a good stepping stone to bring up exactly who's behind PolyMet, that this isn't a local, this is international mining behind this. They want, they discovered these precious metals underneath Minnesota. They want them at all costs, but they're trying desperately to win over the hearts and minds of the people here. Talk a little bit about their was it the electric vehicle argument, where, hey, we're going to dig up nickel here, so that's all the electric vehicles. You guys kind of popped that bubble pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is, I mean, MCEA is clearly, the climate crisis is real. I mean, no one can go outside this summer and, you know, experience what it smells like or what it feels like, you know, to have forest fire smoke constantly overhead and not realize that we're in a climate crisis. We need to make a quick transition to electric vehicles. What's really frustrating is watching the mining interests and their proponents act like they care about this stuff. And they make up stuff all the time. So, for example, on a couple of days ago, PolyMet has an email list they send to their supporters. And the first paragraph says, "The White House recently singled out PolyMet as an answer for the nickel needed for the electric vehicle economy." But if you read the report that they reference, there's literally one sentence in the 250-page report about PolyMet. And all it says is that they don't have their permits. And it certainly doesn't say that that's the answer for our electric vehicle issues. But it's this kind of, inauthentic and really, cynical use of things that people care about, like the climate crisis, to try to justify themselves. I mean, the Center of the American Experiment, which is a Republican front operation, really, had a big piece just last week or 2 weeks ago saying that we need to keep the Coal Creek coal-fired power plant in North Dakota open because Twin Metals, another mine just down the road from PolyMet, will need that coal power in order to mine effectively and cheaply. I mean, they're playing all sides of this argument against themselves. And I think anyone who cares about the environment needs to be really hip to this, because it's clear that folks want to use the climate crisis to justify mining. But in the end, there's no evidence that they need those minerals to accomplish the electric vehicle transition we need. And frankly, these folks aren't even trying to make that happen. They're trying to work against it.
Let's talk about some of the other developments that have come on over the last few days. What have you been seeing here in regards to PolyMet?
Well, so PolyMet this is kind of interesting. Just a couple days ago, actually yesterday, PolyMet's air permit had been struck down by the Court of Appeals. So the air pollution permit, which is issued by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, has twice been struck down by the Court of Appeals. And just yesterday, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency decided once again to appeal it to the Supreme Court for a second time. That's their right. Of course, everyone has a right to appeal a decision to a higher court. We would consider the same thing if we lost the case. What's interesting to us is for the first time, PolyMet hasn't also simultaneously asked for review of that case. And we're just curious about what that might mean. But we think the case was well decided. We're not afraid of going to the Supreme Court to defend that win, but that's another development. And it probably means that, if the Supreme Court takes that case, it'll be another year or so of litigation just on that permit alone. But at the same time, we're hopeful that we can, move on from this as opposed to having an endless legal battle. It hasn't served anybody well, and it certainly hasn't caused any jobs to be developed in northern Minnesota.
And by the way, this whole thing kind of explodes this idea, because one of the things, I've been up in the north, and they do try to sell this as a mom and pop sort of thing, and it's not. And what you just described of, we'll just go to the courts for another year, it clearly is being bankrolled by international mining interests here, because they're about the only people that could afford to keep this going, and hoping that the rest of the system, either a political party that is compassionate to their cause eventually gets into power, or a case where they eventually just wear down the other side. But it's a standard operating procedure, and it's clearly, once again, this is not any kind of local mom and pop. I've got my candle on top of my helmet. I'm ready to go mine stuff. It's international agencies that are basically just looking at Minnesota with a carving knife and figuring out what they can get out of the state.
Well, I mean, you're right about the ownership for sure. So PolyMet is 72% owned by a company named Glencore out of Switzerland. Glencore, if you look them up, they have a terrible human rights record. They have a terrible labor record. They have a terrible environmental record. They own 3/4 of the stock in this company, and they provide every single dime that this company uses to stay afloat. They haven't had any revenue because, look, it's not a mine that's operating, and they have no other operation. And so all of the money that they need to continue to operate comes from their sugar daddy corporation in Switzerland. They own 100% of this thing, if not in stock, but certainly in control of the company. The other company that's important to keep an eye on is Antofagasta, which is the owner of the Twin Metals mine just a few miles up the road in Ely, which is the other copper nickel mine that's being proposed that's moving closer to permitting. And, in that case, they own 100% of it. So, whenever you hear someone say things like, we need these metals for national security, we need these metals because we need to have domestic sources, remember, they're going to ship them overseas, and they're going to be owned by overseas corporations, right? So this is not going to be about U.S., U.S. export dependence. This is all about money for multinational corporations that aren't even headquartered here. And then we'll get the pollution left behind, and they'll get the profit.
I want to make sure everyone understands this. The second that mineral comes out of the ground, that it is no longer Minnesota's mineral. It's no longer United States mineral. It's China or Canada or Brazil's. It's someone else's mineral, and it will never come back and benefit us here directly in the United States. So anything that they're promising is a lie. It has nothing to do with this. And as Aaron just said correctly, the only thing we get is going to be the undeniable and basically inevitable pollution that comes along with these mines. That is the only thing Minnesota gets out of it. They take our product. We don't get anything back. We get to clean up the mess. And that is not a good deal. I'm no business. Well, actually, I'm a business major. That's a bad negotiation.
Well, I mean, it's even a little bit weirder than that, and even worse. The craziest part is that we're going to get the water pollution from these mines. The thing about this kind of mining is that the pollution that's created is not coming out of the smokestack. It's coming out of what's left behind, the tailings, the waste rock, and that stuff sits there on the surface and reacts with air and water, and it creates water pollution for hundreds of years. There are still Roman mines of a similar kind of geology in the UK and elsewhere, which are polluting 1,000 years after they close. So we get the water pollution. Then the copper gets formed. They create a concentrate, and they ship it overseas for that to be smelted. It gets mixed with other mines, copper concentrates, because there's a complicated process of trying to get impurities out. And so it'll probably get shipped to Indonesia or China, where it will destroy the air when it is smelted. And then we might see some of that copper shipped back to us in the form of consumer products in the future, right? But ultimately, like, we lose our water. We pay for that product to come back, and we pollute the air in other places across the globe. I mean, it's a lose-lose-lose, and there's very little win for us. The only people that win are the corporations that are pushing these projects.
We should mention as well, there's a petition out there. Where can people find this petition if they want to be out there to try to stop the PolyMet mine?
Yeah, so we have launched a website called moveonfrompolymet.com, moveonfrompolymet.com, and we have 11 organizations that have joined with us, ranging from the League of Women Voters to the Minnesota Environmental Partnership to the Isaac Walton League. And we're all working together to try to raise the awareness of this issue and to try to tell Governor Walz that he should use his authority and the money that's in the IRRB, the Iron Range Resources Board, which is designed to help communities transition away from when a mine closes, to help the folks that are, you know, in Hoyt Lakes, which is where the PolyMet mine is being considered. Ultimately, it's up to Governor Walz to decide what to do with these permits and how to move forward. Please join us at moveonfrompolymet.org and ask him to move on and try to find something better for northern Minnesota.
And if I can just add this at the end, let's just look at Line 3, the latest project that's being worked on that made a lot of promises about, oh, the oil is going to help us, it's going to be cheap oil and all these things, and billions of jobs. They made all these promises. Well, they probably didn't say billions of jobs, but they did say jobs. They haven't delivered on the jobs. The jobs they've delivered have not even gotten close to the union numbers, if I'm not mistaken. The last time I checked the numbers, those were off. And they're just digging the pipeline hole, and they are spilling and causing environmental damage like crazy. And that's the safer of the two options. You look at the mines they want to put up in the northern parts of the state, the PolyMet, the Twin Metals. Those mines could potentially... Well, no, they will, because it's never been done any other way, will poison the water, air, and land for hundreds of years. So we can't have this go, and clearly we can't trust these people, because the reality is, if you want to protect the environment, you shouldn't even think about doing these mines. Move on from PolyMet.com. Is that right there, Aaron?
That's correct.
Move on from PolyMet.com. Aaron Clems. Aaron, by all means, come back, man. Don't, you know, let's make sure it's not just election nights we have you on the air.
That sounds great, Matt. I really appreciate the time.
You got Anytime. It. No problem. Aaron Clems, once again, Chief Strategy Officer for the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. We'll take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the first hour. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.